Hello and welcome to Normal Boring Free Birth for Normal Boring People with Victoria and Leone. We're here to celebrate, share and explore everyday free birth stories from normal people like you.
If you have a free birth story you would love to share, you can get in touch by sending a DM to our Instagram page at Normal Boring Free Birth or email us at normalboringfreebirth@outlook.com.
Well, welcome everyone. We are starting strong on this series with Christina and her beautiful family-centered free birth. Recording this was just an absolute joy. I mean, wasn't it? It was amazing hearing all the details she could recall. And this was literally 12 days ago that it happened.
As soon as she sent a picture after she'd had this birth, I thought, oh, I really, really want to hear this story. It just looks, the look on her face was just like, I've done it. It was so amazing.
What I love too about her story is that she was telling it in the room she gave birth, which just for me, I love that because it's like there's so much energy in her story and she's got a little baby on her lap and she's boobing away. And yeah, they're in the kitchen, in the room that it happened. And I mean, that was just, she painted such an amazing picture anyway with what she was saying. But just the fact that she was really there too was just like amazing.
Yeah, it really felt like we were right there with her, you know, going to all the appointments with her, hearing the interactions with the midwife, you know, listening to her amazing mum and doula.
Yeah. The family support she had was amazing and was such a good example of that. Yeah. Well, let's just cut to it, shall we? And just start listening to the lovely Christina's free birth story. Thank you so much for agreeing to tell us your birth story. Do you want to start by giving yourself a little brief introduction, just telling us who you are and what you're all about?
Cool. My name is Christina Doddy. I'm 32 and I'm from Derry City in Northern Ireland. I'm a mommy of two. Feels so strange saying that now. I'm a mommy of two. But I have a little boy, Leo, 17 months, and I have Layla, who is in my arms now. She is 12 days young.
Oh gosh, God, that's amazing. Like, I mean, we've said before, haven't we, like the fact that you're even here and you've got the headspace to talk to us, I find phenomenal. So thank you so much for finding the time. But that is wonderful. Well, where would you like to start with this story? Start wherever you like, wherever feels natural, what feels right for you.
Well, I think I'll start off with my first birth when I was pregnant with Leo. So I would say I was maybe a little green, naive day at all. You know, I hadn't really, Leo wasn't planned, so he was a surprise. But I kind of got my green folder. You know, I don't know if they're a different colour with yourself, but here in Derry, they're green.
Lovely.
And I came, I was like, right, I'm pregnant, I'll go to these appointments. And straight away, I don't know where it came from, but immediately I just thought I wanted a home birth straight away. You know, it was something that kind of just felt right with me from the get-go. So I was pregnant with Leo in the middle of COVID. So I was due in April of 2021. So that was when I was due in April time. So leading up to my birth, you know, as I said, at my green file, went to my appointments, kind of put it out there, you know, I really wanted a home birth. And I was kind of immediately told, no, you know, like, no, your first baby and we're in the middle of the pandemic. It's a definite no-no, you know. So I think that's when I started kind of dipping my toe and they like kind of doing a wee bit of research and kind of looking into it, you know, and following the likes of yourselves and your pages on Instagram.
Amazing.
And from there, I kind of, again, I felt really kind of passionate. It's something just really set right with me, you know, felt right. I was like, no, this is right for me. I haven't had a traumatic or a bad experience with the hospitals or anything like that, but the type of person that I am, it always leaves me quite anxious, you know, the doctors, the hospital, because I think from as a young child, whenever you go to a hospital, something's wrong, you know. So I always had that wee bit of anxiety, I'd say, maybe, you know, about the hospital and stuff. So I kind of kept pushing it and pushing it. And that was fine. I was told, well, look, you know, we will look at it. We will look at it every week leading up. So it was kind of late on in my pregnancy then. It was around 37, 38 weeks. And I'll never forget, I went in and I was just told, no, wasn't happening. But also, I hadn't really researched doulas and stuff like this. You know, as I said, I was very green, naive, you know, I didn't really know about choices and things like this. So from there, I was just told no, and I'll never forget it. I sat out in the car park and I remember calling my mommy, you know, and I was so upset. You know, I was just so upset. But again, I didn't realise that I had a choice or I could have had a doula or I could have took matter into my own hands. So they promised me, they said to me, you know, Christina, stay at home as long as you can. Come to the hospital. You'll get your pull. We'll do everything as much to suit yourself, to your needs and what you need. So I trusted on them, you know, and that's what I've done, you know. And again, because it was my first time, my family and friends around me were all sort of just go to the hospital first time. So as I said, I just went, right, okay. So my labour kicked off at home. I lived in a flat at the time, so I didn't have the bath. So I was always in my mama's house, you know, throughout the pregnancy. So I said to my partner, Kevin, right, let's go. You know, need to go to my mum's. So went to my mum's and had a lovely setting there. You know, I was big into my hypnobirthing and stuff like this. So felt good, got in the bath, and things was definitely progressing really well, you know. But we got to that stage where it was like, right, you know, you need to go to hospital now, you know, you need to go to hospital. So got in the car, 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, bright lights, all this. Got to the hospital and they were standing and there was like a wheelchair at the door and I was like, I do not need the wheelchair. I can make it, you know, I'm fine. Nothing wrong with me. And I got up there and then again, it was like, look, we're going to give you an examination, you know, for them to check out where I was. And again, just naive and green. I was like, right, okay. Yeah. So they're like, oh my God, Christina, you know, you're 8 centimeters, you know, you've done really well.
Yeah,
so I was like, for me at that time, it was a good choice for me to get that examination because I kind of went, right, okay, right, I got this far, I'm fine, you know, like I can do this.
Yeah.
And then I got the COVID test shoved up my nose.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
God.
So for me, I lost it. I lost that bubble I was in, you know.
Oh, is it any wonder, God, did they give you a choice with that or was it very much like you have to do this?
No, it was just up my nose and that was it.
Right, great.
So, and then I just kept saying, I need the pill.
Yeah.
You know, I need the pill, I need the pill. No pill, no pill. So again, the feeling of no control just impacted straight away.
Yeah.
It was fine. My partner was able to stay with me and that was grand. But again, I just lost my way. You know, I did. Couldn't get really comfortable. I was in the room, the bright lights, all this. And all the stuff that I had really looked into that I knew, you know, like I knew in my core, I knew in my gut, but I didn't fight for it. Do you know that sort of way?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I knew what I needed, but in that time, I couldn't get it. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't get it. So I just had to go with the flow. And then it was like, you know, do you want some pain relief? Do you want some pain relief? And I had stated it, you know, in the birth plan, no. And I kept going on and even my partner was like, come on, Christina, you know, because again, I was staying at 8 centimetres quite long, you know, and I even felt like I wasn't really progressing and stuff, I guess, here. And, you know, so anyway, long story short, I took the diamorphine and, you know, and that's something that always sticks out for me because I was like, I wasn't allowed under a pool of hot water, but then they were throwing diamorphine at me, you know, and I took it, I did, and I was just like, I was just out of it, you know, I was just gone for a few hours, you know, a few hours definitely, and, you know, as I said, I didn't have a traumatic experience, but I could see how quickly things got out of control, you know, they were pulled out of lots of piercings. So they were taking all my earrings out. They put the thing in my hand. It was like, I'm going to check you for a section, all this. And I just remember, you know, just lying there feeling like, you know, oh my God, this is everything that I didn't want. You know, this is not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then I felt the urge to start pushing and stuff like this. And, you know, they were telling me not to, don't be pushing, you know, we're going to take you for a section. But I was just like looking at my partner going, saying, please just tell him to stop. It was just so, it was quite a blur, but it was very scary. You know, there's so many people and stuff like this.
Do you remember why? So they were saying to you that they wanted to take you for a section.
Yes. What,
did they give you a reason for that?
Baby's heart rate was dropping.
Right. Yeah.
But they had also put the clip on his head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
and I had no knowledge.
Well, the screw, isn't it?
It's yeah, a screw. It's, oh, yeah, too yeah. right. Yeah,
just that's to clarify.
Fetal scalp electrode, and that is a really sort of, it's small, but it's a barbed screw that no one's told of. That I'm sure you were told, we'll just put a clip on your baby's head.
Exactly. It was like a butterfly clip. That's the way. It was like a wee clip just to monitor baby's heart and stuff like that. So that's where it all had kind of stemmed from then, you know. Oh. But again, as I said, you know, obviously baby's heart rate's going to drop a wee bit going down through the birth canal. You know, looking back in hindsight, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I really educated myself then, you know, about it. So anyway, long story short, it was kind of, his head came, you know, he was crying, and then it was like they backed off a little bit then. It was the coached pushing, you know, they were telling me to push. Mm-hmm. And there was a doctor, and I just remember her, she was giving me like an internal at the time, don't know exactly what was happening, but I know that, you know, she was very involved in it, you know. But as I said, I had Leo, he was taken away from me, a hat put on, he was wiped down, all that, and then he was given back to me, and it just felt really unnatural, you know. It just, the whole experience just felt really unnatural for me. I wanted to birth the placenta naturally. I was given the injection in the side of the leg, the placenta was pulled, those things that seem to happen quite a lot and are quite common, you know. But even though I had taken the diamorphine, I was so alert, I was so aware, because as soon as she jabbed me in the side of the leg, I actually grabbed her arm and went like, what are you doing? No, I didn't want this, you know. And it was kind of like, oh, you know, sort of, oh dear, I don't know, you know, like one of those things, you know. So
did she ask you?
No. It was just kind of completely taken out of my control. And then Kevin had a go then, and I was in this wee room with my beautiful wee baby, but it was just so, don't be bringing him into the bed with you, all this sort of stuff. And I will never forget, Kevin rang me when he went back to his mommy's house, you know, and he was sitting with his brothers and his sister-in-laws, and they were like ringing me. And I remember, I'll never forget the feeling of sitting in that wee room on my own with this wee baby. And I just felt so overwhelming, like, so, like, it just didn't feel natural. It wasn't in alignment with me at all. And I just thought, oh, so this is not right, you know, it just didn't feel right. And then it was the next morning, they bathed Leo, they took him away from me, and they took him for a bath. And I just was kind of, you know, really like a deer in the headlights. It's the only way I can kind of explain it. You know, I was kind of like having this outer body experience, being like, what's happening? This doesn't really feel right. So the reason why I'm telling you this story is because this is what led me to have the birth I got with Layla, because from that experience, I said to myself, you know, please God, if I fall pregnant again, I'm going to take matter into my own hands. You know, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to look into things and see what my options and my choices are. Absolutely. You know, and that's what I've done. So Layla was planned, you know, we were trying for Layla. So Leo was only 9 months when I fell pregnant.
Wow. That's so soon, isn't it? I mean, that's like, you know, everybody's choice, but wow, God.
It was quick. It was quick because I was still like breastfeeding, you know, so I thought it mightn't happen as quick, you know.
Nature had other plans.
And then it was like in the new year, it was like January time, it was like, oh God, it's happened. It was like, what did I expect? But it was amazing. We were just so overjoyed, like, brilliant.
Yeah.
So again, I started like straight away. I looked into like the wild pregnancy. You know, I kind of was looking into that. I kind of said it out loud to a few people, you know, and it was like, oh God, what's that? Sounds a bit mad, you know. You know, I was like, no, I think this is definitely what I want to do. Now, I did go for the, you know, the 20-week scan. Mm-hmm. You know, I did go for that. Yeah. And I wasn't going to go for it. But again, I think it was because that wee bit of maybe peer pressure, just that wee bit of, oh, sure, just go. And it's like the norm to go. So yeah. At that time, I hadn't really, can I say it, grew me balls yet?
You know, you can say whatever you want.
I was just kind of like, right, okay, I'll go. So I went anyway, had the scan and all that. And then after that, I was just kind of like, really wanted to go with them, you know, go by my own intuition and really connect with baby. Like I did connect with Leo, obviously, but I really wanted that deeper connection and like just for, we didn't know the sex or anything like that, so we didn't, for baby, they let me know that everything was okay and just go on my mood and how I was feeling and movements and stuff like that. So that's the way that I kind of treated the pregnancy. At one of the antenatal appointments, I had said straight away, oh no, I'll definitely be home birthing this time, you know, definitely. And it was kind of like, we have no staff, you know, we've no staff. It's not going to be possible, you know. But the midwife, you know, she had birthed all her children at home, her four children, she had told me. She said, you know, like, I birthed all my children at home, but I'm in a different era now. I'm a different generation, so I'll just have to go to the hospital, you know. So I was just kind of like, no, I will not be going to the hospital, you know, like this sort of, that's the way I had my mindset, you know, straight away. So then I decided then to not go to any more appointments, because again, they just didn't feel right. They didn't sit right with me, you know.
Yeah.
Blood pressure, urine sample, are you eating good, this. And I just thought, like, no, I feel good to look after myself. I felt always really positive. I'd always great energy. And I always felt deflated coming out of those appointments, you know.
Yeah.
So from maybe is it 24 weeks or something like that, I decided not to, you know, go forward with anymore. But I'm Regis negative. Blood group.
Yeah.
So this was another thing. I took the anti-D injection with Leo, you know, and this injection actually left me quite sick, left me really unwell during my first pregnancy with Leo. And again, at that feeling in my stomach, I was like, what is this? So I read the Dr. Sarah Wickham, the anti-D.
Amazing, yeah.
Brilliant. And I was like, I don't actually have to take this injection.
Yeah.
You know, I was all, I don't have to, you know, again, the first time round, it was like giving the little shake, you have an appointment in the hospital, you just have to go. And it was just like, right, okay, you know, take this injection, I need it because antibodies and my next pregnancy and blah, blah, blah. But when I actually read this book, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't need this. You know?
Exactly. It's never pitched that way though, is it? And anything, and you've been describing so far, it's never pitched as, right, we're offering you this. It's always pitched as, right, you're doing this, you'll get a letter about this and you'll go on that day at this time and that's it.
Exactly. So that was my first sort of having to navigate, you know, the system about that. Was my first challenge with them then, really. You know, it was just kind of like, well, I feel like I don't need it, and it was bombarded with phone calls, you know, but why and this. And I was just like, I don't want to get, you know, I feel like I don't need it. It's my choice, you know. But where are you getting your information, you know, and this sort of stuff. And I was like, no, it's not for me, you know. So that was the first sort of thing then. And then again, it was, I got an email from a consultant, and she, a consultant midwife, and she said, look, we understand you're not coming to your appointments and stuff like that, but I would love to sit and chat to you and see you know, like, why you don't want to come to the appointments, because her job and her role with an assistant is just the advocate between the midwives and, you know, the parents to see where they could maybe improve their services and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I would love to sit down and talk with yous after I have my baby.
On your bloody terms, yeah. Like at the time, because how many weeks were you at this point when you were offered a consultant meeting?
36.
Yeah, see, that time of having like such a, it would have been a really heavy conversation, because I'm sure I've got really mixed views about consultants. I've had experience with them too, and I kind of do think sometimes they can offer a kind of good go-between like the kind of midwives and what you actually want, but also she would have gone through with you every single thing that they want to do and the reasons why. And I think at 36 weeks, that's quite a heavy load to take on board, because you're not that far off from, you know, meeting your baby at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Good call, exactly. I reckon.
Because they always put it in terms of, we want to discuss your reasons for free birthing, but they don't mean that, surely. Yeah. They mean like, we want to try and convince you, because you can't possibly be making the right decision. You know, where are you getting your information from? Let's just check it out.
Yes, exactly. So I actually have to rewind slightly, because I kind of jumped the gun a wee bit there.
That's fine. It's easy to do.
And that process then, I researched through Doulas NI, and I got in touch with a doula, Sarah, the Italian doula. She's Italian. She's amazing. Just even her voice, you know, she's just such a lovely way with her, nice aura around her, you know. And I connected with her immediately, you know. So I had said that I was definitely going to go down the route of having her, you know. And it was great having her as well, because, as I said, you know, about the MDD, and, you know, even then I had another, before I had declined then going to any more appointments, there was one other appointment that I went to, and they had sat down and they went, look, we are definitely not going to be able to offer you the home birth because of our staff issues and stuff like this. You're due around September time, and we just don't think that it's going to be an option. So we don't want to be leading you up the garden path because of what had happened, you know, with, you know, my first birth, because I had said, you've done this with me the last time, and I'm not doing it. So I let them talk, and then that's when I said, okay, I said, well, regardless of you being able to offer me a Rhoda or offer me anything, I said, I'm going to have my wee baby at home. So that's when the free birth then started coming in then to play, you know. So that was fine. I was preparing away, doing my hypnobirthing, affirmations, really connecting with my own body, you know, really going within. You know, I learned so much about myself during this pregnancy, you know, it was really amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Really, really beautiful. So then coming up to the end, then I had received the email. So I said, dear luck, definitely I will speak to you, but after I have my baby. And she was like, right, no problem, that's fine. And then I was like, look, if you need anything, they were very, like, if you need anything. And I said, you know, look, I want to birth at home. I said, but I'm not going to birth at home at any given cost. Obviously, the priority and all this is my baby. You know, so it's not just like this, I'm birthing at home and that's just it. No, I took my pregnancy on a day-to-day basis, tuned in with myself, tuned in with my baby on how we were feeling. Obviously, if there wasn't a lot of movement or if I wasn't feeling well and stuff like that, I knew they were always there if I needed them. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And this is the thing, because that's true for everybody, surely. At least, you know, the vast majority of people, you don't have anybody else who cares more about your baby than you do and your partner. And the fact that we have to say these, you know, these kind of buzzword sentences, don't worry, if I've got an issue, I will come and seek help. Yeah. Of course you will. That's obvious.
It's bonkers. It is like there's this preconception that if you say the word free birth, you mean I will have my baby at home at any cost. And it doesn't matter what, you know, I could be massively bleeding, but I'm blooming well going to have my free bet. This is just nonsense. I don't know of anybody who takes that approach with planning a free birth. You can absolutely plan to have a free birth. And like you say, if circumstances change, if you felt differently, then of course you'd seek some attention, because you want to look after your baby. You don't suddenly, like, where are these women that are like planning free births, but they don't really care about their baby?
Yeah, exactly.
And I found myself having to say that quite a lot, you know, when I was receiving some of these calls. So then I received another call about the anti-D injection, because I did say, you know, look, can you not just take a blood sample off me and I can determine what blood group baby is, you know, because I know that is a thing. But I was kind of like, no, that's not being done. And it was like, I'm nearly sure I read that on your website, you know, that is a choice. Like, and they were like, no, we're not doing that here. So I got the phone call around 38 weeks. They say that, look, we're going to offer you that that blood testing. And I was like, perfect. Sure, it's just a nice, you know, isn't it? And I can make a choice from then of what I wanted to do. So I went over to the hospital and I done that. And got the blood group given, and then it was very like, oh God, you know, you're planning a free birth at home and we've no staff, and it was all that. And I said, look, I'm only here to give my blood, to get this done. You know, that's all I really kind of want to talk about. And I get at the end of the day, they're just doing their job, you know, like they're just doing their policy, and you know, it's not at any individual and particular, you know, they were all lovely women, but they're all just doing a job. They've all someone to answer to. That's the way I always looked at it. Do you know what I mean? So they weren't being, you know, they weren't completely going out of their way just to be like that with me. They would be like that with everyone who was challenging them. You know, I wasn't taking it personal. Do you know what I mean?
But that's the point though, isn't it? You know, because they are being challenged, they feel that they've got the right to then question you.
Yes, exactly. So while I was there, a midwife, the head midwife, Hakina, came down and she said, well, look, Christina, what I'm going to do for you. Because my doula, you know, Sarah was very, you know, she was like, push them, say, you know, it's my human right to have a home birth. You know, I need a Rhoda. You know, like she was very forthcoming and kind of said to me, push for it, Christina. So I did. I did say, you know, like I'm 38 weeks. There is no Rhoda for me or anything like that. And they were just like, well, look, we'll judge it on a day-to-day basis, you know, this sort of way. And we'll get back to you. So we'll need to do a home risk assessment and stuff like this. So I was like, fine. So I received another call the day after. And it was the lady who sent me the email who wanted to talk to me prior, you know, just to see where I was at. So she had just said to me, look, I'm following up on your appointment from yesterday. About the risk assessment, I would love if you could come over to me and we'll get that sorted. So I very naively was like, right, okay, I didn't think a risk assessment has to be done in my home, but anyway, I didn't think about it. I went to her and I was definitely brought over there in false pretense, definitely.
What was the point of that meeting?
So
risk assessment, your choice, or you know,
so basically I got my mommy to come and look after Leo, and I went over. And I just went down and I was very, you know, again, as I said, I was always very positive and, you know, like, this is what I'm going to do, regardless if you've given me the Rhoda or not. Even though I was still pushing it, I still had that mindset, regardless of you giving me the Rhoda, I'm still going to try this at home. And then that meeting turned into like an interview, as in the why? And if I do send a midwife out, you know, are you going to let them do examinations? And I was like, no. Are you going to, right, you need to meet me halfway. So you don't want the,
you need to meet me.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Negotiating with your personal space, your body, you know, you've got to meet me halfway. How much can we bother you? You know, how, you know, oh my God, it just like boils my blood, doesn't it? Like, how much can we interfere with your labor and process and parts of your body that you just don't want us to touch or anything, like, you know, meet me in the middle. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So do the thing that they want you to do, and then they'll reward you with their presence. It's such a mind game. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm. What did you say to that? What did you...
To be honest with you, I was kind of, I could feel myself have a wee lump in my throat, to be honest with you, as I said. I could feel, I felt like I was in an interview, you know, and it was like, why do you want to do, you know, the delayed cord clamping? You know, we do that for 6 seconds, and I said, no, I want to do it for much longer than that.
Yeah.
But why were you getting your information from all this? And that, you know, and it was, but I was just trying to be like, don't let her see that this is going to upset me or anything like that. You know, like if I'm sitting talking with you, I could chat, you know, much better. But at that time, I felt a wee bit intimidated.
Of course,
do you know what I mean?
It's really intimidating. And I mean, it's not your responsibility to educate her, who should know this. You know, this should be what she should understand, why you'd want to delay cord clamping.
But also, it doesn't matter.
No.
You said this is your choice. You absolutely do not have to justify your decision for her to be poking and saying, explain yourself, are you sure?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is just out of order.
Just bullying.
Yeah.
And then the last wee thing, and she was saying, you know, and then that's when the penny had kind of dropped me, because she said, right, so we're going to have to get someone out to your house to do the risk assessment, so because we need to make sure there's a worktop that is clear in case we need to resuscitate the baby.
Oh, they love saying that.
And that is, yeah, drop it in.
No, and I'm I work for our local council. I'm a lifeguard. I've been trained, you know, in first aid and stuff like that. And even me myself, you know, when I look back and I'm saying, so you don't need a bloody worktop to do none like that. You know what I mean? You do it there with your bloody arm. From then I looked at my phone. I was like, look, I have to go now. You know, I've sorted away. And now she doesn't know this, but when I got out, I just was so upset. So upset.
You were.
Of course.
I rang Sarah and had told her, and she was also, you know, quite annoyed. And I just said, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want any more contact. I'm finished. Mm. And I do feel, you know, like I was always very polite throughout. And, you know, very like, you know, giving them and that reassurance, saying like, thank you, you know, like, I know yous are there, and yeah, I understand, and all this, you know. And I just thought, no, I've had enough of being like this. Do you know what I mean? I've had enough. And I came home, and even I didn't want to get upset in front of my mommy. Do you know what I mean? Because I wanted this, everything that I didn't want to happen happened. I was 38 weeks in, raising 39, and I was left in this state, really upset again. And I just thought, no. So when I came in home to my mum, she needed to look at me because I was away for like over 2 hours as well.
Oh, God.
And she just said to me, what? And I just got, you know, Mueller's intuition. She just knew.
Yeah.
I got so upset. Yeah. And I just said, you know, I'm done. I don't want nothing. We are doing this.
Mm.
We're doing this ourselves. I don't need them. We have a plan B. Plan B is there's 2 cars at the front door and there's a 999 service. There you go. And from then, from that point forward, that was it. Turned the phone off most days from 9 to 5, so I couldn't even get the calls and the voicemails. I just would have deleted them straight away.
Amazing.
Then listen to them.
This is the thing, isn't it? You know, they try and get women to come into hospitals so that they can keep them safe, and so often I hear the story of that being the final nail in the coffin of doing the exact opposite of what they wanted to happen. You know, that was the final straw for you of saying, I don't want you, and I don't need you, and I don't want you here if you're going to behave like that. But they were trying to do the exact opposite. What a, you know, what a way to go.
They just pushed you and pushed you and pushed you and pushed you. And you were dealing with it so well and so politely and so courteously. Yeah. And I think that's all credit to you. But they pushed you just too far. And at the stage of pregnancy you're in too, like, you don't want or need to tolerate that. And then, like you say, it's that snapping moment, isn't it? Of just like, right, enough, I'm done.
I'm done,
done.
So Sarah had called round then. To chat to me, you know, and she said, right, where is your, you know, your head at? What do you want? And I had just told her, I said, I'm done. That is it. I said, see if they even ring me and tell me that they are on call for me and there is a rota there, I said, why would I want them in my home? Why would I want that negative energy in my home? I said, I have focused so much on this birth and myself and my baby, and why would I want to jeopardize that by letting them come in? And, you know, maybe if something wasn't right or something like this, not right on their piece of paper, do you know what I mean? And then for them to be in my ear, I thought, no, don't want it. So Sarah obviously was very, very much no problem, that was grand. So we were all totally on the same page. And then that was it. So I was due, I know I don't believe in due dates, but my due date was the 1st of September. So around that time then, you know, she was moving loads, plenty of moving and all that, but I went a few days over. And that was grand. And again, you know, friends and family was sort of like, you know, I was getting the, oh God, what if you go over, and how long will they let you? You know, that's what you get. How long will they let you?
Let you, yeah.
Let you.
And I got that so much. Like, are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed? You know,
I do whatever I want.
Definitely.
Yes. Yes. And I had very supportive friends and family, but they were just so like, oh dear, don't know that, or you're allowed and stuff. So near the time that I was due, I ended up, I just went completely within. I said to my loved ones, I'm not being rude, not being thingy, but, you know, I don't want to talk to you, so I don't want any movement yet or anything happening. So I just kind of went really within, as I said, didn't look at the phone, deleted social media, you know, just wee things like that that helped me.
Love that. Love it.
So then on the 7th of September, when it was a Wednesday evening, myself and Kevin, we were in the living room and we were watching Derry Girls. Have you watched Derry Girls?
I've seen it, yeah.
So we were watching Derry Girls. So I was hanging myself laughing. No, I was hanging myself laughing. And I had looked at him and I had said to him, I feel a couple of niggles here, you know. I feel a couple of niggles. I said, I might be seeing you later on, because he was lying on the sofa. Because he was up really early the next morning. So me and the wee man was up in the bed.
Oh, lovely.
So I went on up to bed, and sure as they got 2 a.m. I woke up and Leo actually woke me up and I could feel those wee niggles, but he wouldn't go back over for me, you know, and he had a really dirty nappy. And I did think to myself, is that my colostrum coming in now? And because they do say sometimes they can get a, you know, a runny nappy. And he would never do a dirty in the middle of the night. You know, it's always last thing at night or first thing in the morning. It's always the Leo. So I did kind of think, Is this it? You know, trying not to get too excited.
Yeah, what a great little sign. I've not actually heard of anyone say that before. That's a great little kind of insight into, like, oh yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
The message is improved.
Yeah.
So I came downstairs then and Kevin was there and I just kind of said, baby, I think something's happening, you know. So at this stage, I'm still feeding Leo. Like, I fed Leo throughout my pregnancy, even though my milk and everything had dried up, I was dry weaning him. And he still wanted on. So I just let Leo lead the way throughout the pregnancy. I did think he would probably, he would get a wee bit bored, you know, but he didn't. He loved it. So I was like, yeah, it's fine. It's grand. It was working for us. So he was going from right to left, from right to left. And it was like 2:30 then. So I was on the ball and I had him like still hit him across my chest. And Kevin was like, I'll take him now, you know. And I said, no, I'm all right. I'm grand. I was on. They were coming maybe every 20 to 30 minutes, but they're only lasting like 10 to 20 seconds, you know, very manageable, you know. But Leo was my priority, you know. I was like, I just need to get him settled, you know. Once I get him settled, it, you know, it'll be grand. So it was about 3:45 then, so it was nearly two hours of this, and they were coming a wee bit stronger. And as soon as I got him sorted, I lay him down beside his daddy on the sofa. And Kevin was just like, what do you want me to do? I was all, nothing. Just be there if I need to. So I went up into the bathroom. And I did have a pool and stuff. I was all ready to go on underneath the stairs. But up the stairs, the top bathroom, like that was my space. I had all my affirmations up, all my candles, my wee light, got the bath going, and got my music on, got a wee bit of hypnobirthing. We went in between music and hypnobirthing.
Lovely.
And I rang my mum then, and I was like, "Mum, I think it's time, you know, will you come over?" Because I wanted her there to be there for Leo, because I just wanted this to be a nice transition for him. Yeah. And the way that I had planned it in my head was just to go with the flow and how I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Leo was present through it all, happy days.
Yeah.
If I felt that things was getting a bit intense and I didn't want him to be there, then mommy would tick him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then it was like, did I want my mommy here and Kevin and the, you know, it was just like go with the flow on who I wanted here and stuff like that. Maybe I just wanted it to be myself and the Julia and Kevin, you know. I said,
yeah,
I'll just see on how I'm feeling. So that was grand. My mommy landed and my mum came up under the bathroom with me, and she was sitting on the, you know, the toilet seat, and I was on the bath and I was chatting away. And my mommy's very old school, you know, she's very funny, witty woman, you know, so she was cracking the jokes. She was coming up all these jokes on between the surges, you know, and all, no noise out of you, no noise out of you now. You know, that's what she kept saying, no noise out of you now. This is what you wanted, so just shut up and get on with it.
Oh, lovely.
This is the stuff she was going out with. And I swear, she had me in hysterics, like some of the things she was saying. So funny. But, you know, it's moments that I'll cherish forever, you know, and that was one of the factors too. I really wanted her there, you know, and it was lovely, you know, having her there.
Oh, that's lovely.
So I was on the bath for a while, and then she said, you know, you're going to ring the Julia now, or what's happening, you're going to ring the Julia. And I was all, I think I was still a wee bit in denial, you know, is this it? Because I was coping really well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm very, very early. Maybe this, you know, maybe it hasn't really kicked off yet. So I don't want to be ringing Sarah so early, you know. So about maybe 6 in the morning, then I decided to ring her. She lives 40 minutes from Derry in Corain. So I knew I needed to give her a bit of time. So I just said, "Dear, look, things is happening, you know, but I'm coping well. I feel good." And I was just trying to find that comfortable position, you know, and I found it then. So she had said to me, she sent me a wee message saying, "Look, think you should get Kevin to get the pool ready." And straight away, my mommy was like, "I'm on it, I'll go." So at this stage, Kevin was up, Leo was still sleeping, and the two of them was just ticking it in turns, coming into me in the room, you know, giving me a wee tickle, rubbing my third eye, you know, that touch, giving me a kiss, you know, tickling me, you know. It was really beautiful. It was lovely. And my mommy came in, she's like, "I think she's sleeping." And I was like, "I'm not sleeping." You know, I really went to that place, that subconscious state.
Yeah,
you know,
sounds like it. You were really in it. Yeah.
Really, really in it.
Yeah.
And I must have stayed there for maybe a good hour or so then. So it's probably around 7-ish, after 7, half 7. And at this stage, Sarah had came then. And she came up into the room, and I just said to her, "I need the pool. I want the water." Yeah. And I didn't want to get back under the bath, because, funny, I had it in my head that I wanted to kind of be on all fours. You know, I just kind of had it in my head. I wanted to be on all fours. But funny, I was the day before, I was listening to Ina May, you know, Gaskin. I was listening to a wee thing on YouTube of her. And it had said about go with what feels comfortable, you know, go with whatever position feels comfortable for you. You know, if you're in a position and you're not comfortable, well, you know, maybe that's not right position for baby to be moving down. And I had only listened to that. So I actually, lying back, you know, like as if I was in a recline position. With my two heels together, my knees out, that's where I felt really comfortable, you know. So I just kind of stayed in that position. So that's why I wanted to get into the birthing pool, because I would have more space to do that than the bath. So that was grand. The pool was ready for me then, and down I came and got into the water. So I had it here, actually, where my kitchen table is. This is where the pool is. You know, I've always the wee fairy lights up, and all my affirmations around.
Yeah.
I had the that door blacked out as well. But we were going in the morning time, so there was a wee bit of light, but it wasn't too much. It was nice, you know.
Yeah.
And I had my wee music going and all. It was lovely. And then Leo had woke up. So Leo was in the kitchen with me. And he was like touching me, and he's a wee toy dog. He was like running around with that. And it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I looked down and I seen this wee floaty thing. And I thought, oh my God, that's, I thought I'd had a wee show a couple of days before. And I looked, I thought, that's only coming away now. Oh my God, I'm only getting a show now. You know, I thought, oh Jesus, this is only starting. And I looked up and I have a big clock up, and I just said, someone take that clock down, get that clock down.
Good don't idea. Yeah.
Clock anymore.
Love it.
Perfect. Because in my head, I thought, in my wee head, I thought to myself, Jesus, I'm early. I'm only early, you know, early stages here. Mm. This is what I thought. And it was probably around 8 a.m., 8:15, sort of around that time. And the clock was ticking away. I was getting a lot of lower back pain. So Sarah was pressing the Gaelarth, putting the water around me, and it was lovely. My mum was here, Kevin was here, and just they were all taking turns, like giving me a wee touch and stuff. Because I remember being like, that is so lovely. He's rubbing my head. And it was like Kevin. And I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. Sarah definitely must have told him to do this. he wouldn't normally do that, you know. And then I looked at my mommy. She was sitting in the chair, and I just said, I think it's time to take Leo, you know, take Leo out now. Will you take him for his breakfast? Mm. And, you know, because I felt like I needed to make noise. And I just thought, I don't want him getting distressed, because that would annoy me.
Yeah.
So my mommy's like, yep, no problem, that's grand. So they were like getting ready, and they just, you know, went straight out. This was about 8:25. And then I went, oh, get me out. I need out of this pool. Need to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And they were like, right, no problem. And it wasn't, no, stay there, you know, or anything like that, you know, like whereas before I was told, no, don't be going to the toilet, probably baby, come and stay where you are now.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I was definitely in transition. Hindsight's a lovely thing. But at that time, I was just all, get me out.
Yeah.
So got me out of the pool. And I went in, and we have a wet room in there, you know, and I went to the toilet, and I didn't go. I felt like I had to go. And I went, oh God. And I could just feel my chin drop, and I was making like a grunting noise, like this. And I was sounding like a monkey. And I was like, Sarah, I feel like I have to push. And she just kept saying, surrender, Christina, just surrender. Just go with it. Go with it. And relax your jaw, everything. And all that, there's all the stuff that I'd really worked on and had kind of really thought about, you know, about my jaw being relaxed, my shoulders, you know, being loose from your waist down. And I gave a big push, and out came this beautiful big head of hair.
Oh, so much hair. Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
I'm sitting on the toilet, and I'm like, looking down. And I did, I had that wee half a second of, oh my God, maybe it's a head, you know. And Sarah was like, relax, breathe, breathe. That's what she kept saying, surrender. Because I always loved that word, I always said that. It's about surrender. And I always would say, this is going to be the best achievement in my life, you know. Do you know what I mean? This is going to be the best thing I've ever done in my life. And she was like repeating, you know, affirmations to me.
Yeah.
And then the next minute, they were like, right, where do you want to go? Do you want to get in the pool? And I was like, no. Walking then all. Here's another one, it's coming.
Yeah.
And that was that. Out she came.
Wow.
That was that.
Gosh.
Oh my God.
And Daddy, Kevin caught her, you know, he was down, you know, on the ground, and there was loads of towels and stuff on the floor.
Yeah.
And I swear that that's quite a small space in there. I managed to get my left leg up on top of the radiator, and this leg squashed up against the shower, you know, like the partition.
Yeah.
And out she came, and he just was like, take the baby. And I remember just like lifting her And I was like, my mommy and Leo, you know, like this. And he was on the phone already. And then it was like, what sex? I hadn't even looked. And I looked down and I seen it was a wee girl. And that's that moment of when that picture was captured out of me. Just, and I think it was like, we did it. And it's like,
Oh god, so lovely, such an amazing thing.
Best thing I've ever done in my life, and like the whole physiological birth, you know, the whole undisturbed, not being touched, it all really, like, it really works. Do you know what I mean? Really works. Within a few minutes, like, I got back into the pool then with her, and I just chilled. So we're in the pool, and then the next minute the door opens here, and it's my mommy and Leo, you know, and my mommy's just standing there with, like, tears in her eyes, you know. She's just like, and then Leo comes straight around, and it's like, it's your sister. And I mean, so she was born at 8:54, and
amazing.
Like, they were
so they only got out the door. They only just left. And then, you know, you just had that instinct, like,
you did, you knew. Okay,
something's going to happen. I need them gone. And then, boom, out came your baby.
That was it. God.
Exactly. And, you know, when I told my friends, like, the story a few times, they're like, oh, your mommy, oh, she just missed it. And I was like, no, she didn't. Like, you know, she wasn't meant to be here for that part. Do you know what I mean? But she was here the whole journey, you know, right up to it. And Leo, like, knowing that he was in the front room, and then he was running around for an hour and a half with me. And, you know, it panned out exactly how it was meant to happen, you know? So I didn't look at it like, oh, they missed it. No, they didn't. And, like, they were very much involved and a part of it. Like, they were there within minutes. Do you know what I mean? And then I was just lying in the pool, and, like, I have a wee video, which I'll share with you as well. I have a video of Leo, and he is just, like, hanging over the pool, and he's just, like, rubbing her head. It's just, like, stroking her head.
Oh, God, don't. I'll just go. there's something about, like, older siblings meeting the little baby. It's just, like, oh, just destroys me. It's so lovely. Oh, it's beautiful.
Like, for me, you know, that was everything. Do you know what I mean? And, like, and Kevin, and, you know, like, even my relationship, like, it's changed something, you know. Like, I feel, like, I love him dearly, but I just feel like it's brought us so much closer together, you know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was everything that I wanted. God, I'm setting off now. Like,
oh, bless you.
It was everything and so much more. Yeah. And my mommy being present, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Being there.
Yeah.
And, like, and as I said, Sarah, like, she was just so calm, and, you know, she was like the glue that kind of held us together, and that bit of support. And, like, and that's the thing, you know, if anything, raising awareness about doulas and stuff as well, because I got a lot of, what is a doula? You know, like, a doula is not to replace the midwife. Do you know what I mean? And I think some people don't really, well, what's the point in her? And it's like, oh my God, like, there's so much more to her role than what people are even aware of, you know? So for me, that is a message that I would love these kind of spread as well, you know, just for that wee bit of support, especially for the likes of myself, like, leading up to quite late on in the pregnancy. And it's like, will be that, well, you'll have a midwife. No, you won't have a midwife. No, you might have a midwife. No, we'll do a risk assessment. No, we're not actually going to do a risk assessment. Do you know what I mean? She was really there for me, because the last time with Leo, I crumbled. Whereas I and Kane and you, I had her, and I was like, no, that's what I needed for me. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you've had some, like, some continuity. That's a proven thing, isn't it? Continuity of care, that will improve so much to do with your experience. And you had someone there who you could rely on, and she was dedicated to supporting you. And that's just invaluable. And, I mean, you had such a beautiful team around you, and she was, it sounds like she was so good at even just helping everybody, just kind of gentle nudges for everyone around you as to, like, either reassuring them or kind of guiding them into what might work for you. And so that is, I think that's such an important role and so like just undervalued from people. Because like you say, yeah, I hear it a lot, like, oh, what's a doula? What do they do? What's the point? You know, oh, it's a bit expensive. No, it's such a valuable person to support you. Yeah.
100%. And like, as you said there, what you said, what you touched on there now about that bit of reassurance, you know, my mummy, you know, she's very old school, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah.
And what I was doing is kind of out of the norm. And, you know, that negativity. She was doubtful, you know. She was a wee bit doubtful and scared. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even though she tried to not show it sometimes, you know. So I think her knowing that Sarah was here definitely gave her that wee bit of reassurance that she needed. And, like, just like so proud of me, do you know what I mean? Like, see afterwards, and she got it, you know, she really, really got it then, you know, like how it happened. It was beautiful, such a beautiful moment, like, do you know? And like, also for Kevin, Kevin is a very quiet man, but he never, you know, he never doubted me, and he would always just go, yep, no problem, whatever you want. But see, even hearing him talk after the birth, he totally got it.
Yeah.
You know, he was all like, Christina, you always wanted the home birth. Yes, he said, but then the home birth turned into doing it with no medical team and no medical staff, and not a lot of people do it. So he said, I was a wee bit like, Jesus, you know, what's that?
Yeah,
so hearing Kevin speak about it, and for him, how the two different experiences, for him, like, even he was like, it was so different. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So different. And yes, it was her second time around. But how calm it was, you know, having the family, how natural it was. Do you know what I mean? And then, so back to the birth. So after I had Layla then, I always wanted to birth the placenta naturally. No injection, nothing like that. So I went back in. We put just the wee container because I was getting it turned into capsules. I chose to do that this time around. So I wanted the tub, just sat on the toilet, and I sat on the toilet. Layla was like feeding on my left breast. Leo was on my right. I'll share that picture with you as well.
Amazing. You've got a photo.
Sitting there. Just sitting there, cloud nine, waiting for my placenta to come and my two babies on. Like,
oh,
you know, it was heaven.
Heaven.
It was the birth of dreams. You know, it's like the birth of dreams. And then that took an hour and 20 minutes. Really? So it did. Hour and 20. So it was grand. So I didn't stay in there for the full hour and 20. I was like in the pool and then in there. And then once that did, we all went under the living room. And, you know, we were just lying with Layla, and the placenta was still attached. Let that stay for as long as it had. I think we let it stay for about 3 hours. And then in that time, we had rang Caroline. She's Donegal placenta. So she came then and collected it. So my mum tied the cord and Kevin cut it.
Oh,
no, and we videoed all that as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, such
a difference, isn't it?
Oh my god,
such a difference. And my mommy was like a nervous wreck doing the cord. Am I doing it right? But I joined that emergency free birth UK.
Oh, some at the Gadsden's group.
Yes,
amazing group.
I joined that.
Wow, so amazing.
So there was like a wee video and all that. My I did watch it and stuff, and then I kind of was all, put that on, let my mum look at it and go again. And I was like, relax, don't overthink it. This is what we were made to do. Just go with your instincts and do it, you know.
And you don't need any special qualifications to do that, you know. It's anybody can do it. This kind of DIY approach, you know, you don't have to have studied for 10 years to be able to cut your own babies, you know, or your family members cord.
But are you allowed to do that? It's like, are you allowed to do that? Like, so we done all that as well. And like, then Kevin nipped out. He was like, what do you want? You know, like, what? And I was like, I want a Scarpello cinnamon swirl and a coconut milk latte, you know. And he was like, right, I'm away to do that. So he went and done that. So then it was just like me and my mum, you know, and she done her skin as well. And I had her and like Sarah, well, she was just amazing, you know, like she just like kind of, you know, was like revving up everything and just letting us be in our wee bubble and all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Perfect.
And then Kevin came back and stuff then. So we just lay on the sofa. My mum took Leo then for a wee while then. And it was just me, Kevin and Layla. And we just lay on the sofa together. And he was just all like, oh my God, I was just so chilled and stuff. And then Sarah was like, look, it's up to you, but I'm just letting you know if you want to ring the midwives or anything to let them know. You can do that. So she just was like, look, just reminded me of my choices.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I wouldn't mind a wee check. Let Layla get checked and I'll have a check, but I'll ring them later. So I rang them later on that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made them aware that I had the baby and she was here. And I would love if they could call just so I could get checked and Layla get checked, but everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, they didn't have a lot of staff on, so they would have to see, you know, if anybody came out. And I was like, no problem, that's fine. You know, I was just on cloud nine. I was grand, you know, didn't matter. But they did come anyway, which was fine. So they were just like, you know, what are we allowed to do? I said, well, look, what are you offering? And I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. So,
God, some progress. Blimey.
What are you offering?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was grand. And there was like a wee student midwife that was there. And, you know, she was lovely. She was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. And did you not have any pain relief and stuff like this? And you knew she was just really needed. And she was early on in her pregnancy as well. And she was like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, she was amazing.
Blew her mind. Yes.
She was great. So lovely. And like, even this is what Kevin noticed then. He was all like, we got Layla weighed and did her wee measurements. But she was just like, you know, so quiet. And Kevin was like on his phone, got up the pictures from Leo. He was all, look at the photos of Leo getting that done. And Leo's like this hat over his head, crying. And, you know, just even that transition, you know, the wee checks, how it impacts her. Like, she was so zen. It was lovely, you know. And even for me, once you have a baby, all your hormones, and you know, it's so nice looking at your wee baby, and your wee baby's all quiet and happy and content. Yeah. Cool. You know, when they get upset and so on, it leaves you a little, jittery even. So, just that whole process. So, that was lovely. Just got no tears, no nothing like that. Just got my blood pressure and stuff done, and I felt really well anyway, but it was just a nice to know. Do you know what I mean? And that's what we wanted. And it was on our terms.
Yes, very much so.
And it was beautiful. So they left then. And like, again, I'm still naked on the sofa with my wee baby and eating toast and having tea and having some cake. And do you know, and my wee baby's just there. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Oh, I mean, God, that's such a gorgeous image. And what an amazing story. And I feel like when you're describing the after the birth and the involvement that your family had, like, it wasn't overbearing, but it was wonderfully like connected to you. It was really beautiful. Like, even just the little touches and the support and the being there and the making jokes, and you know, they were really kind of like lavishing you with what you needed, you know, but not overbearing and not kind of putting anything on you. And I've just got that image of when you first described like your first birth of the afterwards, just being on your own and having your family on the phone everywhere. And it's such a stark contrast, isn't it? Like, you were in, like, your family were surrounding you and supporting you, and you were kind of in the heart of it with the birth of your daughter. And like, you know, it's such a contrast to your first birth. But
1,000,000%. And you know, as I said, I did the capsules this time, and I feel a huge benefit of those. But you know, the whole labor and after, and having that unit and having my family, as you said, around, how it's impacted me, you know, after, you know, mentally, emotionally, everything has been So like it's mad, it's amazing, you know, like even after I had Layla and like they were taking the stuff out to the pool that evening, I was like standing at the door and like the wee girl across the street was like, any word? I said, yeah, I had her, you know, yeah. We had her here. No. And she was like, what? Not you standing there? And I was like, amazing, you know.
Oh,
it was just great. Such a beautiful, beautiful journey, you know, really, really nice. And as I said, when I do look back on that time in the hospital, you know, I was standing like crying and all, and you know, and I know the first time round as well, you know, definitely like I'm taking that into consideration, but you know, the first time round, you don't really know what they expect and stuff. Yeah, but that being said, it was just so unnatural.
Yeah.
You know, it was really, and you know, I'm not trying to convince anybody, you know, that my way, that the way that we've done it is the right way and the best way. Mm-hmm. It was the right and the best way for me, for us as a family, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all I would like to do is just raise awareness and let women know and young girls know and women know that, you know, they have a choice. And they don't have to just go with what the flow is, and that going to the hospital isn't necessarily the safest place. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You know, and that's all I would like to do. And if I could help one person kind of go, oh my gosh, you know, like I can do that, then like I'm like amazing. Do you know what I mean? That's all I really want to do.
It has these ripples, doesn't it? You know, your incredible birth has affected your close circle, your slightly wider community, your neighbour, you know, you've been able to shout from your doorstep. It was amazing.
Yes.
You spread that message into the student midwife as well, you know.
Yes, yeah.
This has an effect on so many people, even, and we don't quite know who's going to then tell the next person and the next person, and slowly, slowly, you know, getting out this message. Birth can be amazing. It doesn't have to be this horrible, scary, difficult experience that we hear about so much of the time. And just you sharing your story, you know, I'm so excited for our listeners to be able to hear it. It's absolutely incredible. And you know, we felt like we were right there with you in your kitchen where you're sat right now, and just the effects that this is going to have on getting this message out, that it doesn't have to be as we've grown up. And you know, I just want to give a special shout out to your mum, your amazing mum, as well, who just sounds like the most incredible rock. You know, she's been so there with Leo during the birth, after, just amazing. Well done. Thanks, mum.
Yeah.
You hear that, mum?
Oh, yeah, because she's there, isn't she?
She's shouting, thank you.
No. Amazing.
But no, and again, you know, I want to say a big thank you to yourselves as well, because I both followed your pages on Instagram,
aww,
you know, and I'm not just saying it because I'm in front of you now, but like as soon as I even had my baby, I really wanted to let you know, because you've really impacted me and the knowledge that you've put out there. You know, I wouldn't have learned half the things that I know now if it wasn't for yourselves.
Oh,
you know,
amazing.
Do you know what I mean? So like I just, you know,
you
and
so
I've
much.
Been saying to so many people, you need to follow free birth, you need to do this, you know what I mean?
Oh,
you know, you need
so
to follow the only, because honestly, the stuff that I learned, I wouldn't have learned it, you know, and Instagram is an amazing platform as well.
Definitely.
But it really did, you know, it really, you know, I'm from Derry, do you know what I mean? You're over in England, and you have had such a
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
I wouldn't have met you otherwise.
I mean, and it really hits home, because I think, you know, Leonie and I did get messages from people going like, you know, oh, I love your post, thank you so much, which is amazing. But like hearing it from you and hearing your story and everything, I mean, that's just like, it seems sort of almost surreal that anything that either of us can create and put out into the world has this kind of like impact, or that makes any kind of difference. But then you're
people.
Here.
Yeah, real people.
Exactly. And you know, you're here doing exactly the same, you know, by telling the story. And I mean, my God, you told it so beautifully. People will be hooked on this, I guarantee, and it will open a lot of eyes, and it plants those seeds. And like you say, it's not saying that everybody should do this, but for those that are, you know, curious or interested or just want to know more, like, God, this is so incredibly helpful and supportive of that. So, yeah.
And like for anybody who, as you said, he is curious, do it. Do it. Trust your body. This is what we were made to do. It's what you were built to do. And one thing that I keep saying is like, I just done what my granny done. My granny birthed, you know, my mum and her sisters and brothers, bar one, all in the house, all in the wee house up in Craigan. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's what I say. I just done what my granny done. You know,
for
rest,
you know.
I love that. Yeah, that's
amazing. Because it's got a new, you know, it's got a new term nowadays, hasn't it? Free birth. But this is what we wanted to kind of start off by saying was it's just birth. It's nothing.
Yes.
It's incredible. It's amazing. It's extraordinary. But it's just birth.
Yeah.
A bit normal. It's a bit boring sometimes. It's, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's the same, like I know earlier I used the term while pregnancy, you know, but it's just like believing in your body, going on your own intuition and tuning in to your baby and you, and you know, and as I said, I've grown so much as a person, you know, so amazing.
That is amazing. That is so, so lovely. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. It was just yeah, it was like all I wanted and more. I want more. It was so lovely. So lovely.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
If you have a free birth story you would love to share, you can get in touch with us by sending a DM to our Instagram page at normalboringfreebirth or email us at normalboringfreebirth@outlook.com.